Welcome to Girls Room, where each week we unpack the foundational text of the 2010s, HBO's Girls. I'm Julia Gray. I have my incredible co-host with me, Drew Haskins.
Hi, everyone.
And we are on to season six, the first episode of the last season. And joining us is the brilliant writer and close friend of mine, Sophie Kemp. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, we're so excited to have you, especially like as we kind of plunge the depths of this dark final season. We were just saying, I guess we have mixed feelings in the chat about this last season. I don't know. I like the final season, but it's definitely kind of a, I don't know. It gets a little dark, and I don't know if I like it as much as the rest of the show.
I love it just because it is so bold and such an interesting way to wrap up these particular characters. Like, I just appreciate what it tries to do. There are some really messy episodes coming up, but I think the first half of the season especially is pretty excellent.
Yeah, I really like have not done a full rewatch of this season ever. Because I remember when it like came out in 2015 or whatever, just like finding it to be like very ridiculous for like many reasons. But this episode that we watched today, I think, is really good. And there's like one other episode, like the American Bitch episode, that I think is like phenomenal. But then it just like gets kind of like really weird and improbable to me in like kind of a weak way.
Weird and improbable is a good way to put it. But this was, I forgot this episode was in season six. I forgot it started season six because it's such a funny kind of classic Hannah episode. I love when they take us out of the city and like just see her interacting with people who aren't her like New York cohorts.
Yeah, I love
Yeah.
a bottle episode.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your relationship with the show Girls as a whole, season six aside.
Yeah, so I feel like I have a really funny relationship with this show for a lot of reasons. One of them is that I went to Oberlin College, like specifically like during the peak girls era, like when I was applying to college, it was like maybe season two had just happened. I was like very aware of the fact that I was like going to the girls' school.
Oh
So I've always felt like really haunted by this show and was like watching it
my
while
God.
I was in, at Oberlin College. And yeah, as a result, I've just like kind of always been like tracking my 20s through like what happened to the girls' girls. Unfortunately, I'm not really like any of the core characters of the show, but I don't really think anyone is. And I definitely have been like a lot less lost than all of them. But yeah, I feel like I have a really funny relationship with the show. It's definitely like always been in the back of my mind, especially as I like left Ohio to go to life in New York City.
I bet you heard like comparisons to Hannah all the time, right? Or like people saying, oh, you're just living out girls.
Yeah, I would like to think I'm not Hannah, but I definitely think I have been, yeah, haunted by girls' comparisons since I like, yeah, since I like got into college in 2014.
Have you always been a fan of the show, or at first were you kind of maybe resistant to it because of the whole Oberlin of it all?
I loved it when it first came out, and then when I like realized that we were like supposed to hate Lena Dunham, I was like, okay, like it's time to hate Lena Dunham, because I was in like my real sheep era of being a young person, where I was just
All
like,
been there.
I had like any sort of like dominant opinion like is gonna, and that I like have decided is correct, like has to be my opinion, otherwise I'm like a bad person or whatever. And I still don't think Lena Dunham is a good person, but I do think that I now I'm kind of like, oh, she's honestly like an amazing writer, and the show it fucking slaps, and it's really good. Yeah, I did like a full, almost a full rewatch of the show, and one of my best friends got top surgery like 2 years ago, and that was when I kind of clicked for me that I was initially correct in my assessment of the show that it was really good.
Yeah. Are there any episodes that especially stand out to you as masterworks?
I feel like the episode where like Marnie reconnects with Charlie, that bottle
Oh, yeah.
episode, where she like finds out that he's like on heroin at the end is like thinking about that episode all the time. It's so beautiful. Also the car accident for sure. I feel like I end up quoting lines from that episode all the time.
It's an
I think
incredibly
like all
quotable
that
show.
can be what?
I said it's an incredibly quotable show, but continue.
I was gonna say I stole the cracks of conceit for like a small part of the book that I just wrote because it just was too good to be.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. You'll have to plug at the end, but I cannot wait to read. I mean, good segue into what I wanted to ask you next, which is how do you like connect to Lena as a writer, or you said you appreciate her writing, but how do you kind of writer to writer connect to her?
I don't know. I feel like something that I kind of think is true about her is, and when she's writing the show, is she's somebody who like really has her shit together, but is really good at like writing about her also not having her shit together. Or like, her way about like her way of writing Hannah to me just like is so resonant and real and really funny. I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking a lot about this when I was watching the show. I find like the dialogue to be so stilted in a way that I like don't think I realized when I first watched the show, which I think makes it really delightful to me. It does feel like very mumblecore-y, which is like the scene of which she came out of. Yeah, I don't know. I like her writing a lot. I think that it's like just like a really real way of writing about a specific way of being in your early 20s in New York City.
I
That's
recently rewatched Last Days of Disco, and I saw a lot of parallels between Whit Stillman's writing and Lena's writing. I don't know if anyone has not watched that movie, please go do it. It's, I think, perfect. Like if you like Party Girl, like you'll love Last Days of Disco. It's stilted in a way that like it feel we've touched on this a little bit before, but like it's mannered and stilted in a way that early 20s, mid 20s New York's like transplants would try to be sophisticated in that specific way.
yeah, I think stilted's like a perfect way to put it. Stilted also almost in the way that sometimes I find myself like falling into, like I'm trying to say something smart and I have all the words there and it's coming together, but it is stilted. I don't know, that's a perfect way of putting it.
So how do you think the show holds up in total? You've kind of alluded to maybe some mixed feelings about Lena herself as sort of a cultural figure, though we don't touch on that much actually, like when Julia and I talk about the show. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your thoughts about the show, your thoughts about Lena, just and how it kind of all colors your viewing experience.
Well, my view now is that I think the show's awesome, but I mean, it is like you have to take it at face value. It's like a show by a white woman about like four white women that like all have rich parents. Like I don't think that a show like that would like be able to or like should be able to like exist in like this current cultural climate. But for what it is, I think it's like awesome. And I feel like I personally just like tend to separate art from the person who made it, which I don't think is like universal or like people should be that way, but that's just the way that I am in terms of like how I consume like most cultural products. So for me, I'm just like able to just like enjoy the show for what it is, but I feel like all the critiques of it at the time were super valid. But I disagree with any critiques about her being a bad writer because I think the writing in that show is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal writing, and we definitely don't want to diminish some of the snafus that she got herself into back then, but yeah, I mean you can't make this not slap. Like
I
it's such
mean,
a good show.
yeah, I also think the critiques of the show were totally valid, but also some of them, I guess in hindsight, I wonder. I mean, I don't know, certain critiques I'm like, well, I don't know if she needed to write a show that featured anyone who wasn't like a privileged girl living in New
Right.
York. You know, like that's what she knew, and she was like kind of skewering it And I feel like people totally didn't, I guess, get that she was in on the joke.
Yeah, totally. Like, I think, I don't know. It's hard to tell ever when Lena Dunham is being self-aware or not.
Yeah.
Is like kind of, I think, the most problematic thing about her is that you're like, I can never actually figure out like how much you've like thought about this. But I agree with you, Julia.
I can't
Well,
tell if that's to her benefit. Like, kind of, it's almost like she's playing dumb in a good way, but I don't know. Maybe she's a mastermind
my all-time
playing herself.
favorite Lena Dunham the person quote is, "My words were spoken from a delusional girl persona that I often inhabit." And that I
So,
think that sums it up just about right. Like, it's
yeah.
she's often inhabiting it, like consciously or not, which is kind of her genius and also in so many ways her downfall. Like, the critiques of the show are 100% valid, and she definitely did not do herself any favors by being so publicly messy during this time. Like, it would be, I don't think you could do the show, obviously, in an era without social media, but the fact that she was constantly tweeting throughout all this, really, it kind of added to the experience, but also it definitely clouded a lot of the like contemporary reaction to the show because she was just so outrageous.
I think the other thing is that she was making like these episodes, like she wrote them when she was like 27, which I'm like, I don't know, like I tweet crazy shit all the time. Not that crazy, but I'm like, it's just a very volatile time to be a person, and you just say a lot of dumb shit all the time, I think.
Yeah, Twitter was also a different place when
Yeah,
she was
totally. It was a lot
a
more deep diary back then, as someone who's a Twitter user during that time.
thing.
Yeah, she was kind of just letting her freak flag fly, and to her benefit and detriment.
For real.
I know you said you don't connect with any of the girls, but if you had to choose, which girl would you say you are?
Probably Ray.
Ray.
Whoa.
Wait, why do I know that? Did you tell me that, or did I just know that?
Because I'm like, I'm so Ray.
You are Ray.
Like I'm like very glam or whatever, but I also am like, I just like want to like sit in my apartment and like argue with people and like read a book.
You are so Ray. Wow.
I'm like gross. At my core, I'm a Ray. I like need to like come off as like a Marnie. I'm definitely not a Jessa. I'm a little bit of a Hannah, but I'm mostly a Ray.
Yeah, I could see you with like Ray Marnie kind of cusp, but I'm mostly
Whoa.
Ray.
That's a wild mix.
There's some Marnie in there, some Marnie like beneath the surface that would
Yeah.
be apparent to anyone who doesn't like know
I don't know. Maybe I do come across as a Hannah. I don't know. I've been like on my SAS girly grind lately, and I feel like it's not good that I'm doing that.
I
So.
think. It's very good. I think maybe like Hannah in the streets, Ray in the sheets.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. Every writer we've ever had on has had a little bit of Hannah in their chart. I think it's just impossible not to subconsciously identify with her a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we get into the actual episode itself?
Let's do it. Drew, do you want to do our little recap of last week?
Sure. So last episode, the season finale of, or the, yeah, season finale of season five, Hannah delivered a career-changing story at the Moth about her, Adam, and Jess's love triangle. Meanwhile, Adam and Jessa got into a horrible fight and destroyed their apartment. Marnie and Ray went on tour with Desi, opening for the Lumineers. Shosh found a purpose rebranding Ray's coffee shop. And Elijah and Hannah's parents had a kiki, and it was really fun. So that's where we left our girls. And we pick up pretty soon afterwards, it seems like,
Yeah,
time-wise.
honestly, great season finale into a great season opener, I'd say.
The show's so 2010s, I love
It is. There
it.
are moments in this episode where I had to make a note. Like, this is so deeply 2016, 2017,
Oh,
which we
yeah.
will get into. But let's go through. We usually do girl by girl, and I think starting with Hannah.
We gotta.
We have to.
I mean, talk about 2016, 2017. Like, the modern love focus in this episode was so like late college era for me. So Hannah's story that she presents at the Moth gets published as a full essay in Modern Love. And the episode starts with kind of a montage of all of her friends parsing through this.
I
My
honestly loved this little opening monologue. It's so cheesy TV season opener, but like did work on me and did give me goosebumps. I love that Marnie's sitting on the toilet reading it, so her for some reason. And I also it's so real how much she loves that she has a friend who's in the times, you know. It's a personal victory for her.
Yeah, her screaming, Hannah's in print, and then immediately like wrapping the paper towel or the toilet paper around her hands, like Allison
Perfect.
Williams, you genius once again.
Also,
oh, Julia, you go.
oh no, you had.
I was gonna say for me, it's all about Hannah rereading her own pitch. Because I'm like, yeah, that's
Also, I mean, Ray, aka you, spotting a typo and giggling reading it, very good. I also loved, I mean, it's just perfect. It's reminding you who each character is, which I think is fun. Like Shosh going, that's not very ladylike. I don't know. I was charmed by it. Do we think this would be a viral essay in 2023? Or do you think it would fly under the radar?
Think it depends the how the writing is.
That's another thing I love about the show. We never really know. Is Hannah a good writer?
I mean, I could see this being a tweet thread. Like, I don't think Modern Love is even hitting the way it did in 2016, 2017. Like, I'm just not really sure what the forum for this kind of piece would be. But like
TikTok
at
story.
like where?
I said TikTok story time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
I
don't
like.
think. Oh, sorry, I keep interrupting everyone.
Oh no, no, go
No, oh my
on.
God, it's so tricky on Zoom. You go, Sophie.
Yeah, I just feel like Modern Love isn't that relevant anymore. Like, I don't know of a single Modern Love essay going viral in the past year, so it definitely has to be on a different forum, for sure.
The only modern love I can think of that went viral, I think this was modern love, was that girl who wrote about creating like a contract for her relationship or like terms and agreements. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
I feel
that's
like it, yeah, I feel like it has to be really, really stupid
the last
to.
one I read was about a woman who lost her virginity when she was 31 because she had a heart disease, and it was
Oh,
sad.
I think
That
that's the
sounds.
last one I read too, actually.
Maybe that one sent me viral. I don't know.
And who is the author? Hannah Horvath.
Hannah Horvath.
I also want to shout out Adam Driver's acting in this scene because his like
Nail
aggressive
biting.
thumb chewing was
Yeah.
genius to me. And just the saying that she doesn't want to read the essay at all. Very believable. Very believable.
I love Adam Driver's character in the show so much. It's just like such a kind of man that I'm so familiar with, and it really works for me.
I agree with both points. The thumb, the nail biting immediately stood out to me. I was like, yep, that's an actor.
That's an actor.
That's Kylo Ren.
Once again, the casting in this show, incredible this episode for guest actors. We'll get to Riz Ahmed later, but I screamed fully when Chelsea Peretti popped up as the editor-in-chief of Slag Mag, especially given for people who may not be aware, Chelsea Peretti's brother is Jonah Peretti, who is the
Right.
editor of BuzzFeed, or like owns it.
Funny,
He's
yeah, former BuzzFeed owner.
See, I didn't re I always suspected those two must be related, right? Same last name. I they are.
I didn't know.
Shocking.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
I
well.
also, I mean, I love Chelsea Peretti. Honestly, I think she's very funny, great, like kind of sitcom-y comedic actress.
Oh,
And
yeah.
she's perfect in this little beanie. as the EIC of Slagbag, which seems like kind of a reductressy type
Also,
situation.
the outfits, again, I'm just like the yellow leather jacket. I'm like, God, I'm so happy we're not doing that anymore. I personally never did that because I've always been really stylish. But I'm aware that other people were doing that at that time.
People were wearing bright leather jackets for sure. I definitely have like, oh no, it's kind of stylish. I was gonna say I have a red leather jacket, but that
Yeah,
feels
I like know what you're talking about, and that doesn't count because it's cool.
different. Thank you.
No, I was going through my Apple Music library the other day and just doing some like detritus cleanup of stuff that I absolutely never listen to anymore. And half of it was this like landfill indie music from 2015 to 2018. And these sorts of pastel or like brightly colored leather jackets were on every single one of like the album or EP
Wow.
covers, like just without fail. It was like the hipster military jacket.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It wasn't that long ago. Like the most brain dead point to make, but it wasn't that long ago.
You're so right, babe. It really wasn't.
Were listening to Landfill Indie and wearing yellow leather. But I do love Chelsea Peretti commissioning Hannah to write about this women's surf retreat in Montauk, quote unquote, mainly for her look. They're fi hiring her for her look, which, what does that even
She
mean?
said her look, her shape, her everything.
Also, the in-person pitch meeting. I'm like, what? Did
Did that ever happen?
that ever happen? I don't know. I wasn't writing for magazines really in 2016.
I also love Hannah saying, I give zero fucks about anything, yet I have a strong opinion about everything, even topics I'm not informed on, which is g genius, like the thesis of her character.
I mean, that's the thesis of online life these days.
Yeah.
I caught some strays with that one.
That too, I was like, I definitely was that for longer than I'd like to admit. Like, just such. Feels so strongly and thinks that's a strength and is also not that informed on things.
Oh, I mean, that was me like an hour and a half ago tweeting about why George Santos got indicted for wire fraud. Like suddenly I'm like busting out the legal textbooks. Like it's
Yeah, that's loving Caroline Ellison so much.
I did also like Hannah saying that she feels more of a dumpling than a woman.
Yeah. I mean, Chelsea Peretti basically saying, like, how are you still standing? Like, you should be dead in a gutter by now because of what you wrote about. And yeah, more of a dumpling than a woman is a great quote that maybe I'll start using again.
This assignment is so ill-suited for Hannah's whole vibe, either outside, I mean, outside of her look and shape. Like, I
I
mean,
mean,
she's prioritizing going to like sun her vagina like Shailene Woodley. Like, she's going for the beach. Like, it's a great, great time.
I have mixed feelings because I do see what Chelsea Peretti is saying by we're hiring you for your look. Like I said, what does that even mean? But I think I know what she means. You know, they want a fish out of water type thing. I got it. But you're right, Hannah's too stubborn. And yeah, she says, what does she say about Shailene Woodley sunning her vagina? She says, the glow doesn't come from the makeup, it actually comes from her pussy. Sophie, I don't know why the Shailene Woodley sunning her vagina thing. I was like, why does this feel like, why does this remind me of Sophie?
I would say something like that. That's why.
Maybe that's why.
I feel like was thinking about when I was watching them, I was like, everyone is just like has their fucking cunt out like every 5 minutes in the show. And it works for me. It was making me be like, why am I like fully clothed in my apartment all the time? It doesn't make any sense. I live with my cat. I don't have a
were
roommate.
two. There were two separate pussy moments.
Yeah.
That actually there's a third. We saw Jess's landing strip.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful. That's the show.
This was definitely a more like Bush forward episode than we've gotten in the past. Like,
Yeah,
to
for
be
sure.
applauded. I mean, so Hannah goes to the surf retreat in Montauk at this kind of like motel sort of
Like a chic
structure,
motel or
chic
something.
motel, like they like the Trixie Motel they just went to on Salt Lake City. But
Oh my God.
Memory Motel, honestly, which I'm like corny that they would rip off Rolling Stones, but
yeah.
whatever.
So Hannah witnesses a lesbianic confrontation between a wealthy woman and like this staffer about some missing surf instructor who she had an affair with, and she quickly clues in on that this is essentially just like a fuck retreat for wealthy women to like hook up with surfers.
So funny.
Yeah.
I also, I mean, she's immediately also just that fish out of water. You know, they hired the right girl for the job. The staffer immediately clocks her and she's like, "You can swim, right? And like, you need to wear sunscreen. You're very pale." Obviously, Hannah kind of, I guess, immediately takes that and is like, "Okay, well, I'm going to hate everyone back." And she says, I have a quote here. She says, like, "Everyone here talks in this slow, unintelligible way that borders on Matthew McConaughey hell." I thought that was funny. Just like, you know, Hannah, if she gets the slightest idea that people don't respect her or don't like her, she's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to beat you to it."
Yeah.
Which I feel, I guess.
And like, if I spilled sunscreen all over my suitcase and then like greased myself up to like fit into someone else's wetsuit by accident, like I would not be a happy camper either.
No, I would have a panic attack. If I disappoint anybody, I get very upset.
I think you and I and Hannah have that in common. I mean,
Does Hannah have that? She's a
I was gonna say she maybe not actually. She's a willful, I don't know, she's very willfully, I can't come up with the word, but she lubes up the someone else's.
lubed up.
She her
Yeah.
words not mine, but so funny. She's like, "I had to lube it up just to get it over my ass." And then what follows is maybe one of the most shocking scenes in girls' history, or moments I should say, where she comes over and some woman calls her out for wearing her wetsuit, and she's like, "Take it off." And she says, "Okay, take it off right here." Strips down completely naked, shocking everyone.
It's so shocking. This is one of the rare late season girls episodes that I've seen more than once. And every single time I am completely caught off guard by it. Like, it's such a funny joke.
It
Yeah.
is. It's
It
also.
makes a lot of sense, though, for her character that she would do that.
Yeah, I
Oh,
mean.
yeah. Like, she like buttons the scene by saying, "Well, fuck me. I did not get that information."
It is
Oh my
so funny. I
gosh.
love it's also just the shock value of it. I feel like a lot of the time she uses her naked body just as like a, yep, it's here kind of, you know, statement. But in this scene, we get a rare kind of, it's almost like slapstick, you know?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, which I love. I also love Riz Ahmed playing Paul Louis, the surf instructor.
He's a hunk, a
It's
hunk in the traditional sense.
a funny casting choice to me. The Riz Ahmed on HBO's Girls season 6 has always been very confounding to me, but I do love it, I would say.
This is back when networks would like keep the casting in the family, so to speak, because he had just finished that show that
The
I don't
Night
know.
Of.
It's Night Of. Yeah, Night Of. No, I almost called it Night Manager. The Night Of, which is about like police injustice or something. But he filmed that in New York and then did his girl scenes basically concurrently as part of some like HBO deal that he had.
That makes
It is
sense.
weird casting, but he's really good. His American accent is really good. Did not take me out of it too much.
It's so hot, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's great in it. Like he has the accent down. And he also just kind of has the drawl and the pacing of it down. I don't know. I
Yeah.
love him in this role. I also love, like one of you said, there's just like a the subtle sexual energy between the teachers and the students when he's teaching the class, and these kind of skinny Pilates 30, 40 somethings are totally just, I don't know. They just live for the compliments. They're like jumping up on the board perfectly and waiting to get called out. Also, Sophie, on this show, we love to call out all the hilarious names they give to characters. What's one that comes to mind? Who was Marnie's artist
Oh,
boyfriend?
Booth Jonathan.
Booth Jonathan, the contemporary artist.
Perfect.
Thomas John, the millionaire that Jessa was married to. Anyway, girl's name of the week. There's a woman in the class named Laramie. I just
Like,
thought we need to just
so
like get that out in the open.
I hate to correct you. I looked on IMDb because I also heard this. I was like, what is he saying? IMDb has her name as Larmory.
Like Laura Marie.
No, Larmory.
Okay, that's still weird.
It's weirder than Laramie almost. Like
No, Laramie's way
Armory with
sweet.
an L.
Okay, but Laramie is like Jeremy with an L.
It's also like Laramie Wyoming.
Yeah, Laramie
It's also like
Project.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I just this show, it knows how to sneak in a joke.
Yeah.
Um,
It's so crazy. There's a lot of Hannah physical comedy this episode. I loved her falling off the surfboard and pretending to sprain her front arm. And also Paul Louis being like, which of your arms is your front arm? Aren't they both
yeah, the
your
doctor be like, that's not real.
thumb? Yeah, I mean the nurse is so good, like so such a good foil to Hannah's little game. I love her just like wearing a towel around her head, looking like a kid in the nurse's office. I also love when she says, well, what if the piece is about how I went out to the beach, hated it, came inside and never went back out? Could that be an interesting angle? Like that, I felt that so deeply. Like when you're doing an assignment and you're like, well, what if I do it poorly? Like, would that be okay?
I like to talk to anyone for my story that I'm working on, and just like
Yes.
kind of made it about me.
Sophie, exactly. I knew you would get it. Like,
I mean, that's just like what writing is about to me, at least. Just like figuring out how I can just like find a way to make it about myself at all times.
that's the best way to do it.
I mean, if I could find a way to pivot this assignment into like an eater.com essay about all these weird, like electric blue cocktails that you can drink at these resorts, like that would be a fun pivot for me. Like,
I would read
I.
that.
Oh yeah, I would, and I'd drink the cocktails too. I love
Oh, yummy.
a like neon fruity drink. It's one of my less appealing qualities.
I don't know if I do, but I had a blue cocktail recently and I was like, this is awesome. So
Awesome or awful?
awesome. It was really good.
Wow. What flavoring? What's the profile?
No, it was like tastes like blue raspberry. It was like at like a fancy Italian restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You're
It was
gonna
like
need to.
hipster Italian food where they're like, it's a junk food here. I don't know. It was good. Cafe Mars and Gowanus. Honestly,
Okay.
would recommend.
All right, I'm writing it down. I love Hannah with a dyed blue mouth. She's really living her truth out here on this on her post beach day. She's sunning her vagina and drinking this cocktail. And Paul Louis approaches her at the bar and says that she should try to enjoy it. And then Hannah says she was selected for this job because she wouldn't enjoy it. And blah, blah, blah. Hannah invites her to drink, or invites him to drink with her. Which leads to another really funny line from the episode from Paul Louis. It's cool because I can drink a lot and not be an alcoholic.
Yeah, it's just like such a stunted line that it like shouldn't work, but it does really work, which to me is a very magical thing about the show. Also, that scene is precedes one of the best dancing episodes of Girls, which is where Hannah twerks really bad,
Yes. Yes.
beating ass on the ground.
It was like, do you guys know that like movie Climax, the Gaspar Noé movie where they all dance at the beginning? This was like, he stole the whole movie from this scene. Like, this was like
Wow.
nightmare fuel to me.
It was really, I was like, God, I like never can drink again after watching this. And I watched it at like 1 p.m. completely sober.
Yeah, I love Hannah writhing around on the dance floor, like spilling. She has so many bright colored drinks. This one is red. She's like spilling it all down the front, just kind of showing her entire ass to the dance floor. It's a great scene and makes drinking look so, or makes partying look not fun in a way. Like, I don't want to be at that party.
No, I was like, God, I hope I've never done that before. Also, I think that I like clocked that they were just like playing like random deep cut MIA songs, and I was like, oh God, screw, I need to,
No.
like, I want to die.
And then Riz Ahmed getting up and like unintelligibly rapping the verse from Slow Jams was so funny to me.
And
Like,
just like not hitting any of the words.
she's like, Hannah's like so turned on by it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is deeply triggering to me.
Yeah, I've
Yeah.
definitely been turned on by a guy doing something in like similar to that, similarly horrible and cringy. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's just how you are when you're that age
Not drunk as well.
and that drunk.
Yeah.
Think Hannah is in this season.
Riz Ahmed is a rapper in real life, right? I mean, he has a rap career.
Is he?
Yeah, isn't he in that? Okay, let me verify. I need to verify this because I'm
Please
pretty sure
verify.
he does have a rap career.
Sophie,
Just as like a side gig.
did you say how old is she in this season?
Yeah, how old is Hannah in this season?
Okay, let's do some math because
Be
there's an
26 or 27.
what did you say?
Give me 26 or 27.
I feel like 26 or 27. There's an episode like one or two seasons ago where she turns 25. So I feel like 27 might be it.
Yeah. Riz Ahmed is a rapper, by the way. He is one half of the Sweatshop Boys, with one of the guys from Das Racist.
Is it Heems?
It is Heems, yeah.
Well, I think I knew that. I
And
did not know that.
he hasn't done anything since on the Hamilton Celebrity Covers CD, he did Immigrants, We Got the Job Done. So
All
once
right.
again, 2016, 2017, going nuts, going nuts.
That's fascinating. I mean, he does not show his chops in this episode,
No,
but
none
he still yells, "I'm gonna fuck him," which good for her.
them. I stand with my sister on that one. My true like bottom out cringe moment of this episode was after they have sex in the bunk beds, which cringe number one, her waking up having like a very authentic looking sunburn and throwing up like red Slurpee drink all over the floor, like a visceral nightmare.
Yeah,
Like,
and then like deciding to like get on her high horse about having a bush. I was like,
oh.
oh. Like I have a migraine.
Yeah.
Says, I've seen bushes all over the world, and you have one I haven't seen, which really made me laugh.
So funny. I mean, she has a pretty normal looking bush if he's seen so many. But I also love, so like you said, Sophie, she's kind of getting on her high horse, like, oh, excuse me for using like my hair for what it was intended for. And he's like, no, I like it, like relax.
Yeah.
And then
It's like that, like immediately following her, like realizing that she has a disgusting sunburn and then throwing up off the side of a bunk bed.
Ugh.
yeah. Truly has no reason to be acting that way.
Way that they're having sex to me is like so cringe, where she just like keeps feeling like she's in an awkward spot.
Yep, her hips popping. She What if I wrote down a quote from that? She says, she's like insisting that she's flexible. She's like, I am flexible, but like I'm much more flexible than I am strong, but like I feel my lungs collapsing a little bit. Very
My
sexy.
God. The shot that just I felt like it went on forever of just his back and her like feet kind
Yeah.
of angled like that. I was like, oh my
It's so
God.
awful, cringy.
Ugh. I
I'm
did
very,
like, oh, go on, Julia.
I was just gonna say I'm very aware of sex scenes because I watch TV in my living room and you can kind of see in from the out. I'm on the ground floor, and so I'm always like, okay, how is this gonna look to a passerby? Because there are little gaps, as you can see.
It's not a big gap. Like someone would really have to be like peeping through your
You can
window.
see I walk by, and if I'm casually walking by but looking, I'm always looking in people's apartments. People are looking. But anyway, that was a pretty tame shot, but nonetheless, went on for a long time.
So
Yeah.
long.
It really did.
I really like this little scene. Or like series of scenes where Paul and Hannah just frolic around Montauk instead of skipping out or and skip out on the surf lesson.
Also, they're just like, I love when they like make out in the sea, that whole, and they're also like, My Sweet Lord is playing.
Yeah.
They have, how much did you pay for that sync licensing? That's a big one. Yeah, but I was like, that whole montage, I was like honestly deeply charmed by it, but and because of it was just like so perfectly ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old joke since From Here to Eternity, but every time any show or movie does one of these montages that like shows how hard it is to actually like make out by the ocean, I laugh every time. Like just like the physical comedy of her like bikini bottom sliding down and him like trying to like pick her up and like her the just like the frolicking. I was laughing the whole time. But I
And we
thought the
all.
conversation they had was so sweet though, too.
Another thing I clocked during that scene is the amount of Montauk Gear product placement.
That's a good point.
I was like, this is a really great advertisement for this disgusting beer that I hate drinking.
There was also a lot of Cheetos, and just maybe one Cheetos when they were smoking weed. They were eating Cheetos. So get the bag, I guess. You got to pay for that sync license
Good.
somehow.
Yeah.
But I love the theme of their re short-lived relationship is kind of like she's this kind of, I guess, curmudgeonly pessimist, and he's this eternal beachy optimist.
Yeah,
Like,
he's good.
yeah, showing her how to live. She, at one point, Hannah says, I'm not into the beach. I'm more into like my apartment and the library and meatball shops.
And he says at one point, love gives vibes.
Yes, wait, he says, hate takes energy, love gives vibes. And she goes, like, as if this it's some poignant statement. She says, yeah, love does give vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I love he calls the beach, quote unquote, the big blue medicine pill.
It's so like when you're like specific tweet that I always see, it's like being like, I hate men, and then texting your boyfriend like, how's improv practice, babe? It's like that to me, but like I feel like I relate to this more because it's like you thinking that you can like date a guy who's like really into the Grateful Dead, and then you like realize that actually entails.
Yeah. I won't tell Gabe you said that. He's really into the Grateful Dead.
I mean, out of
It
love.
does take a lot. It does
It
take
out of love.
a lot.
Yeah.
I don't see, for a long weekend at least, dating some like himbo beach philosopher who says stuff like, it's so much easier to love something than to hate it. And like meaning that so earnestly as if it's the most profound thing ever said. Like by the ocean, you can kind of just like listen to the
Sure.
waves, tune it out, like vibe out a little bit. That's kind of what she. I mean, Hannah's like shockingly kind of receptive to it, but
Yeah, she's ready to get an Airbnb and stay for a while and get to know him. I
Yeah.
mean, what'd you say, Sophie? I couldn't hear you.
I said until she finds out he's in an open relationship.
Right. Comes crashing down very quickly when he reveals he's in an open relationship with Asherlin. Is that the name?
Yeah, because her mom's name is Lynn and her dad's name is Asher.
No, it's the other way around, I think.
Oh my God, that's even funny.
So good.
I think she thinks that's the reason why she's reacting so strongly to it. It's like, because of her unusual name, you probably have a lot of questions.
The line
Oh.
that really killed me was, and this is such like a gay guy line. I was like so thrilled that they actually like forced it in here, but we're open except when we're going to Kilimanjaro in a few weeks. Like I have heard, like take out the location, swap in for another one, but like I have heard that exact line from so many open gay couples, like
That's so funny.
dozens of times in my life. And
We're
the thought of being closed on Kilimanjaro is
so funny.
like you're fucking at altitude. Like that takes a lot.
Yeah, that's so real.
Yeah, Hannah gets a little angry. You know, she feels really stupid, you can tell. She's like, good thing I didn't meet you in Kilimanjaro. But she kind of, I guess, loosens up and plays it cool and just kind of has a good day for the rest of the day. And then she goes to a bonfire with Riz Ahmed. And just the episode ends in a really sweet, corny way that really worked for me. The co-counselor or whatever is playing She's So High. I don't remember who that song is by, but you know, classic 90s, 2000s.
Yeah. And they're all really corny and drinking their Montauk beer.
Drinking their sponsored Montauk beverages. And she's just kind of grinning, and then it transitions into the actual song and fade to black. I don't know. I honestly, I'm having goosebumps talking about it.
Yeah.
Don't know why,
Really
but
good.
it's sweet. It works.
It's a good episode.
It's a good episode.
Yeah. I mean, should we talk, get really quickly into the Ray and Marnie of it all? Like,
Yes,
yeah. Because I bring up that Ray is reading A Little Life,
Yeah.
which I was like, that's the thing that I took away the most from that episode.
I mean, what? Okay, I had this question because we wrote that down, Ray reading A Little Life. What else do we think is on Ray's bookshelf? Like, what?
He shouldn't be reading that book. That's like out of character for him. He should be
You
reading like,
think?
yeah, he should be reading like Abramov or something, like just like a really heavy Russian book.
Yeah,
That
he
makes
definitely has a lot of like Dostoevsky. I can see him having like The Stranger. I mean, he's not reading about gay suffering.
no, absolutely not. He's like reading about like a Russian guy who like can't get off the couch.
But that book was very buzzy at the time, you know? So like I feel like he is one to buy a buzz book.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like there's an episode of Sex and City where like Carrie's like reading the Rachel papers by Martin Amis, and I'm just like, what?
They need book consultants.
That book came out? That's a deep cut from another show, but sometimes I'm like, so I'm like very aware of what people are reading. I'm like, does this character really like somebody who would like go to Bookstar Magic and get a book off of the pink table? No shade.
Wow. Sophie, I would read an article on this subject. You need to be a book consultant for HBO.
I literally would love to. I'd be so good at it. I unfortunately do a lot of reading because I don't own a television.
Well, gotta get one if you're gonna be a book consultant for HBO.
You're right. Also, I love HBO's Girls.
True.
When they reboot it, or if like this episode also sold me on the idea of Hannah doing a wild style trek through Kilimanjaro or it's just
Oh my
any
God.
like national
I would love
forest.
Hannah.
Excuse me. To imagine Hannah in that kind of, that also, honestly, briefly getting back to that really does cement how different they are, Hannah and this guy. The fact that he's going on a trip to Kilimanjaro. Like, Hannah's not built for this.
No. Oh my
But
God. I don't want to
Rain
talk about
Hannah
Rain
or Ran
Money.
Marnie. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I love them calling each other baby every other word.
Oh my God, I also clocked that.
Very funny way to show where they are in the relationship, which is early, but not too early.
Early, but not too early, but like it's not going well.
No. It's like kind of like hostile.
Yeah. It's like it's weaponized like love speak kinda.
Yeah.
Marnie's obsession with like her online therapist is Nexium vibes to me.
I think this is the second time she's brought up her online therapist in like the last three episodes. She says her online therapist is quote unquote obsessed with her repeating old patterns, so that's why she needs to kick Ray out and spend time with him, but some of the time needs to be apart, quote unquote.
Yeah,
Yeah.
used to go stay with Shosh.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, the Shosh part, basically Ray's like, yeah, it's fine, I'll just stay with Shosh. And immediate red flag, obviously, but Marnie says her manic energy is not welcome here, so he should stay with Adam. And Ray says perhaps the funniest line of the episode, maybe the funniest Ray line I've heard in a while, about how Adam and Jessa live in one of the most repulsive places you've ever seen, and they're always somehow reheating fish.
It's so funny.
Oh, he says they're always somehow reheating fish. It's like they got this huge fish dinner months ago and it just never ends. It's bottomless. It's
And
baffling.
then, like, the first scene that is in Adam's apartment, Jess is sitting on the couch naked eating with yogurt like a
I mean,
baby.
it is
Oh.
pig pen. It is the pig pen over there. Like, and
Why?
he's just in her his underwear, like
I
I don't
mean,
know.
why is yogurt like the grossest thing you could eat naked?
It just is. It just is like really wrong. It's like textural. It's also you're like
Ugh.
your finger
Yeah.
is on my tongue in a really gross way.
I mean, I
I
think
also.
anything in a spoon in a bowl
Okay,
naked is a no.
ice cream seems more okay to me
But
for
what if
some
you
reason.
spill? What if you spill
Well,
like
of course,
dairy product
it's
all
all
over your
bad.
naked body? Like that's, I don't
No,
think this is
no.
good. Like
I think yogurt's really disgusting.
it's, Yogurt
ugh.
is uniquely gross for
It's
a kid. After
gloopy.
I was walking around eating yogurt out of my big tub, and I was like, this is gross. I can't do this.
I don't like, I think it's the, I think maybe ice cream feels more okay, maybe because it's a treat and because it's more solid. I feel like yogurt is, it's almost too well, it's too liquidy for sure, and it's too
But it's too solid at the same time. Like that much,
I
I
don't
think
know.
yogurt's too like I would rather spill soup on myself, on my naked body than yogurt.
Interesting, interesting. I actually see what you're saying.
Because like it's like drinking something. If I spill like water on myself, like that's no crime. But like,
Sure, like a drippy yogurt.
oof.
Yeah, I'm like I wear clothing at all times, so this is I'm like good take a shower in a onesie kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm not
You're never nude.
try to be naked as little as possible, but eat any food without clothing on. It's usually watermelon Sour Patch Kids, and that's a private thing between me and myself. I do the only ones besides
That seems like an okay thing to eat naked.
Yeah, you can only do it when you're in a relationship. I'm
That's
not.
that too. That's not single, or yeah, I don't know. I feel like you can do that single.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
You write the rules. I
It's for
follow them.
relationships.
We have to live according to our own personal codes. Like, I think
Yeah, I think
this
so.
is a good way to live.
I
But
also hate it, makes it somehow grosser that Jessa calls it yogurt.
yeah,
Yogurt.
totally. That
I
line
know.
is so much funnier to me, considering that she, like Jemima Kirk and Jess, like both have a fake British accent. Like, are we allowed to talk about that?
It's confusing at this point.
I saw her
Because,
at a party over the summer and she's like 5'2".
whoa,
Wow. Yeah.
she reads 5'7" on
She's like
screen.
5'2". I'm like, I have like 2 to 3 inches on her, which is
Wow.
rare for me.
That's actually shocking to me.
I
I think it's
know.
because she has such. Okay, hear me out. She has such long hair. I always associate that with tall women for some reason.
No, she's
Why is
not.
that?
She's the same height as Kim K, another woman who's 5'2". Famously
Whoa.
short woman, yeah.
Oh my God. I wish I was gonna go to the Lola Kirk concert this summer in Chicago and had to skip it for a vacation. And I could have come to this Kirk family realization sooner had I just showed up there. But Lola Kirk does not have a British accent. This is what's
I've heard that.
confusing to me. And neither does Domino Kirk, the doula.
The
Sister doula.
they getting back to the fictional Jessa,
Yeah.
she and Adam moved all of Ray's stuff in the corner behind like a sheet for quote unquote sex reasons. They're just like this whole scene in this kind of weird haze from the last episode, during which they destroyed their apartment and had sex in the middle of the wreckage. They just seem like they're acknowledging that the relationship isn't good, but you know, kind of just on a marathon sexcapade.
Yeah, this was a rancid vibe to me, and I'm glad that Ray realizes it and just goes straight to Shosha's
Okay.
afterwards, against Marnie's better judgment.
Yeah,
I
I.
love this relationship though. Which
Yeah.
one? The Ray Shosh dynamic is so lived in and real, them bickering about Paul Krugman in the metro section, I love new Shosh. Post-Ray Shosh is so funny to me.
I feel like that feels less real than the Jessa and Adam stuff, which to me
Fair.
emblematic of like what a really weird dysfunctional relationship is like, and versus like, I mean, like I love the Krugman line, but I'm like, that just like seems like two people play acting to me.
Yeah, I mean, but it almost seems real in the play acting. Like it seems real in the Shosha's kind of putting on a performance of like, look at me, look at all the similarities I have with Ray. We can talk
Yeah.
about, you know, like it feels like, yeah, there's definitely a play acting part of it. And I would be so fucking pissed if I were Marnie. Like Shosha's in these cute little booty PJ shorts, making him avocado toast. I would not like this at all. Marnie
Knowing
walks.
that
What?
he's GF.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Oh my God.
GF.
What does she say? She's like, oh, come on. Like, I know you're GF. She's a hoot.
Shosh is outrageous. And I don't think that it's not too play acty to me because we did leave season five with her on this anti-woke, anti-hipster crusade rebranding of the coffee shop. I can see her getting very grumpy old man centrist just by osmosis being around these Ray and the whatever old guy, Colin Quinn.
Yeah, but I see what you mean, Sophia, just about like the stilted dialogue. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. It's funny though, and Marnie's just she walks in holding two cups of Starbucks coffee that she quote unquote got from a real coffee place. Like she's like shitting on Shosha's coffee, but. Ray rejects, or Cho says that Ray doesn't drink coffee from multinational conglomerates, so they
Yeah.
continue on their little oof.
So cringe.
Yeah, really, really rough.
Really rough. I also rough and I really cannot devote more than one brain cell to this, but Desi and Marnie's little post Ray sex scene, crying into her lap once again, enough. I'm pretty sure the next episode is maybe the last time we see Desi, and it cannot come soon enough for me.
I don't know if it is. I mean, maybe. I
Is
don't
next week
remember.
not the like cabin weekend? Am I
Oh my
wrong?
God,
Wait.
that's the best episode ever.
It's
Sorry,
so
I'm not there.
good.
So that's where he starts screaming fetches and cunts. All the time. So
Oh,
good. Honestly,
God.
that is canon for me. That's like top five girls episodes.
Is that next week?
I think it is next week.
Oh my God, I love that episode so much where he's just like high as fuck on OxyContin and starts smashing his hand into a window.
That,
That's
yeah.
that is so good.
Gene
I
is
mean,
best.
he's great. The actor, obviously.
Yeah, complete genius. I think that's also the episode where Shosh and Elijah go to like the Women in Business conference.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We got a good episode. I mean, I really like this season. Like,
There's some fun stuff.
yeah.
Noticed that stuff was in season six, because season
Yeah.
six just ends on such a weird note to me that I like forgot that there's like stuff that I like about it.
It definitely kind of soils the season, the ending, because it's just like not a very satisfying ending.
I do remember really, I mean, we'll talk about the ending when we watch the episode too, but like I do really remember liking how it wraps up, but it's definitely a very odd, almost epilogue like episode. Like all the real like closure, I mean, to the extent that there really is closure on the show, happens the episode before it's Shosh's engagement party.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't know. We'll get to it, but I have
Yeah.
mixed feelings. One thing I want to point out from this Marnie Desi scene is before they have sex, Desi says, "Before I even saw you as a woman, I saw you as an artist," which is just so
Love her.
funny.
She and him think so much. It's so awful.
So awful. Oh, it's perfect. It really is. I love this show so much.
Me
It
too.
really is given the give this season. Like I'm excited. Oh, and also Elijah wanting to use Hannah's room for an orgy, like a networking orgy
When he's
between like
going to be like 15 people, I'm like, that's so cool.
Honestly, I also love Hannah being so just like, no questions asked, sure.
Also,
Sure.
he's like, I want to do it for networking with Broadway professionals.
So funny. And then Marnie suggests he takes a class, and he's like, fuck you, Marnie. You take a fucking class.
Wait, that little bitchy aside he does about the guy in college who kept gaining and losing weight for roles in the chorus was that might have been my biggest laugh of the episode, honestly. Like,
Yeah.
I really love Andrew Randles.
Yeah. I mean, what did we think of this episode as a whole?
Thank good. I thought it was really fun. I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, I liked it. It definitely doesn't feel like a season premiere, but I mean, given how important this episode ultimately is to like the plot and the trajectory of this final season, it does click into place. But I liked it. I thought it was so funny, like classically sitcom-y in a way that Girls is like sneakily very good at.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
Final segments?
Yeah, we start by asking which girl are you in these episodes? Where did you, it could also be any character. Where did you see yourself in the series season opener?
Opener, honestly, Jessa. This is the only time I've ever felt like a Jessa. Just like that very specific genre of being just fictional. I'm not in one right now, but I just really felt something watching that of like a younger version of myself, maybe.
Being under a psychosexual spell.
Yeah.
Mean, I would be too with Adam Driver. Like he, like over the course of the 6 seasons, ages like fine wine to me. Like
Oh,
he
yeah.
was so hot in like the little brief moment we saw of him.
Yep.
Yep.
Very hot. Regrettably, I was Hannah, I think. Just
You love a reporting trip, babe.
I do, and I really love fish out of water reporting. And
Honestly, me too. I never do it though, which is why I can't say it's me.
I mean, it's one of those things that I hardly do it, but when I have done it, I think I'm really good at it and I like it a lot. But I don't know. Also, just her like hating the surf thing. I don't like the beach either. And just kind of pussying out immediately and saying like, I'm gonna hurt my front arm and not do the assignment. Like, I felt that too.
Did you go to Juggalo Fest one year? Am I crazy?
No, so there was
Okay.
a I came up with the idea when I worked at Stereo Gum to have a readers vote on like which horrible festival to send me to, and they voted on some weird like trucker like Buck Cherry music
Fuck
festival.
Cherry.
But it got canceled and then I got laid off, so it
Oh
never ended
no.
up happening.
That I don't know why in my head I thought you went like to like party with the Juggalos for some reason, but I was like,
I should have
that's an
done better.
assignment.
You do a good job at the gathering, babe.
You know what? Never too late. Never too late. I'm looking into
We should
it.
a girls room fan club meetup at the Gathering
Yes.
2024.
Oh, I would love that
Love.
live.
I was definitely Marnie this episode. Yeah, looking the Ray Shosh dynamic, if I were Marnie, would have driven me similarly crazy. And as a self-identified Marnie in most aspects of my life, I just had to give it to my girl this week. Fit check, outfit of the episode, fashion of the episode. What'd you say, Julia?
I think for not because I liked the outfit, but because I thought it was so spot on. Marnie's little coffee run athleisure, her kind of her little turtleneck zip up and leggings and sneakers, just of course holding two coffees, just a perfect Marnie outfit.
What really got me from that outfit were actually the her over-ear headphones. They were those like
Yeah,
I that like Issey Miyake like little triangle ones. That was very 2016, 2017. Me too. Sophie,
for
do you
me,
have one?
it's Hannah's interview for Slag Magazine. Her outfit, the yellow leather jacket.
Yeah.
It's either that or her like when she puts her dress back on in the morning after she has sex with Riz Ahmed and there's puke on it.
Oh, puke dress redux.
Yeah.
Mine was actually also a Hannah fit. Her geometric print jersey maxi dress that she wears to like sunglass shop, like before it was also very 2016, 2017. I actually thought Hannah dressed pretty well this episode. Compared, like the fashion is dated, but I think if I had watched this episode in, watching this episode in 2017, like the yellow jacket would not have raised an eyebrow for me. Like, I think we were just too conditioned.
Yeah, I mean, and her party frock before she threw up on it looked cute on her.
Yeah.
She's, she was, she's coming into herself,
Yeah,
maybe.
definitely. And then MVP and LVP of the episode. My MVP was Shosh. Just, I thought she seemed pretty, like she was doing pretty well. And like, I don't think I could give it to like anyone else. So Shosh was kind of my default MVP. My LVP was Desi for just being like once again crying in the laps, like that is disqualifying behavior to me.
Such a baby. He's a
Yeah.
big baby.
Ugh.
I'm gonna give MVP to Hannah for getting out of her comfort zone and, I don't know, kind of being okay with this weekend fling, even though she's resistant to it at first. I think that's cool. And seemed like she had fun, even though it was an unusual experience. And LVP is Marnie for just this whole situation. I feel for her. I don't want my boyfriend to stay at Shosha's, his ex-girlfriends, and I don't want to bring them coffee in the morning and then have it rejected. Like, that all sucks. Sorry, Marnie.
My MVP is Riz Ahmed's character because he's a free spirit who is in a cool open relationship with the hula dancer at Atlantis. Going to Kilimanjaro together, so that's pretty great. And then my LVP, I would have to say, yeah, probably also Marnie. She got really cucked in this episode.
Oh,
Desmond is
fact,
always
yeah.
like the absolute worst, so I don't really expect anything else for him, but I felt it more with Marnie, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wow, what an episode.
Great app. Sophie, thank you so much. This was a joy.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was a lot of fun.
If you would like to be found on social media, where can people find you? Slash, do you want to plug anything?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm not on any social media except for Twitter. My Twitter is just my name at Sophie F. F as in Francis, which is my middle name. And I have a book coming out in 2025 called Paradise Logic, and you should buy it in 2025.
Everyone set your calendars.
Yep,
You heard the
do it
girl.
now.
It's going to be really good when it comes out in 18 months.
It is really going to be good. Wait, is that 18 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a year and a half. It's spring of 2025.
It's
When you put it
2023 now.
like that, it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, it's not that long. It's normal publishing stuff. So everyone look out for it.
Everyone look out for it. It is
Yeah.
going to be an amazing book. Sophie's a brilliant, brilliant writer.
Brilliant, brilliant writer. So keep submitting listener questions, by the way, too. You can email them to us at girlsroompod@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Twitter at FKA pigs with a Z. Yeah, we've been getting some good ones, so
Keep
just keep them
listening.
coming. Keep
Great.
them coming.
All right.
Is that it?
I think that's it. I think we covered it.
Great. All right. Well, bye, everyone. We'll see everyone next week.
You next week. Bye.
Bye.